Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back for another week of Health Talk Radio. Of course, it's your one and only Donald Snowden. Hope everybody's been having a productive week, having a good day today. Been raining here in North Carolina. It's been a busy day, but again, we're here. Excited to be here. Ready to share some information and hopefully have a discussion and really sow into the people who join us today. And just really hope that, you know, this year has been going the way you want it to. It's been working out for you. And, you know, living your passion, living your dreams, doing what you love to do and get up and do every day. And that's super, super important. So, you know, again, we're having a discussion on calcium deficiency, and we're having a series where we're going through different diseases and different issues with whether, you know, types of calcium deficiencies. And we're going to delve into them and see what, you know, it is that we can do to do it naturally, fix it naturally, let the body heal itself, and just get out of the way. Thank you for joining. I appreciate it. And hope I bring you some value. That's my goal every week, is to bring value in the field of health and nutrition or anything else that I can do. The topics of discussion today, in no particular order, are brittle nails, cartilage damage, and calcium deposits. And these are some of the low-lying symptoms that we start to have when we look at calcium deficiencies. And when we talk about calcium deficiencies, we're not just talking about calcium by itself, because there's a protocol that goes along with calcium to actually make it work. So when I speak of calcium, I'm just not talking about calcium by itself. I'm talking about calcium. I'm talking about vitamin D3, glucosamine, chondroitin, strontium, all the things that build bone, as well as glucose, which helps with the cartilage and allowing the body to regenerate its own cartilage, to regrow its own cartilage. A lot of doctors will tell you you can't do that. I'm living proof that you can. After having a sprained MCL and a partially torn ACL, and without any drugs or surgery, within 4 months, my cartilage and tendons had regenerated or had healed themselves. And basically, you have to give the body what it is that it's missing. And I say that meaning cartilage and tendons are made up of something. Bones are made up of something. And so you have to give them back what it is they're made of in order to make them work. In the medical system, in the medical field, they don't feel like that's possible, because they think that once a part is worn out, once a part is broken, like a car, you just take it out and replace it. But cars weren't made to heal themselves. This is a creation that was put together by the Creator. We are. And He says that He's put everything here for us to live and survive. But we can't depend on a system that is allowing you to, or wanting to take things out of you just to replace them, when preventative maintenance can keep the body going, and then giving it the proper nutrition can keep it healthy and keep it flowing. So tonight, like I said, we're going to go over a couple of topics. I didn't get a chance to get home to the office because traffic was really bad and it's raining, so I had to stop off at my second office and get things together. So, you know, I got my notes here and we're ready to go. But we're going to start with, because that's a big one. Most people suffer from cartilage damage at some point in time in their lives. And in most cases, the knee joint is involved. There are a number of symptoms which, you know, point to cartilage damage, including like pain in the joints, stiffness, swelling, less range of motion, less movement. And cartilage is an extremely flexible yet tough tissue. that is found in all areas of the body, and it has two principal functions. One function is it's a shock absorber, and the other function is a mold. It molds the area that is going to be compressed into it. And although the joints within our body are covered with cartilage, the presence of cartilage enables our bones to move smoothly. It reduces friction and therefore the potential for damage. It helps to support weight of movement, whether it's walking or stretching, bending or running. Knee cartilage damage is particularly common, and treatment can vary depending on the extent of the damage that's sustained. Cartilage tissue is flexible and tough, and its purpose is ideally illustrated when it comes to our unique features, such as the nose and the ears. That's all cartilage. The two extremities consist of mostly cartilage. What marks cartilage out from other types of tissue is the lack of blood supply. Blood cells play a very important part in the process and repair if our tissues become damaged. It therefore follows the knee cartilage damage and other cartilage issues are sometimes aren't able to be repaired, but most of the time they can. And we talk about blood flow, but there are also stem cells in that area. There are also cells in that area. And when we talk about repair, that repair has to be done at the cellular level. Cartilage is divided into three types. And you have a what you call hyaline cartilage, which is principally found between the joints and ribs and around the trachea, which is the windpipe. Elastic cartilage, more flexible and supple, and makes much of the nose and outer ears and the epiglottis. And then you have fibrocartilage, which is the strongest type of cartilage, and this can withstand a great deal of weight and is found between the bones and the pelvis and crucial areas between the vertebrae. Knee cartilage damage involves the fibrocartilage. That's what normally gets damaged when you have knee damage or cartilage damage. One of the most reported and possibly serious sorts of damage is that the cartilage damage between the joint. And it can lead to swelling, pain, and varying degrees of mobility loss. However, all types of cartilage can become damaged. And if you've ever seen a wrestler, you ever seen people that wrestle, and I'm not talking about like WWF or anything like that. I'm talking about people like that wrestle in high school. And you see their ears, and they have that condition, which they call cauliflower ears, where their ears get really, really wrinkled and they get really hard. And even if you go to squeeze it, it's like a rock, man. It's tough. And that's called cauliflower ear. And that's one type of cartilage damage that you can have. And it's very hard. I mean, over time, sometimes it can heal itself and get better, but a lot of times it stays that way. And it can affect your hearing. It can affect, you know, some range of motion. It can affect different things, but that's the elastic part of that cartilage that becomes damaged, and it just looks more deformed. This type of injury is, like I said, common among rugby players also, and many people suffer from it. If you ever had a slipped disc in your back, that's the fibrocartilage. So that important cartilage is in a lot of different places, which is that fibrocartilage. The most common symptoms of knee cartilage damage is pain and stiffness, reduced movement and swelling. A high quality of support can compress the area to reduce the pain and swelling while still stabilizing the involved area. And I talk about knee cartilage a lot because that's what we normally experience. Some, you know, baseball players may experience the elbow cartilage, or Tommy John is the surgery that they do on one of the tendons. You also can have it in your shoulders. But knee cartilage damage involves like the meniscus injuries, although that's like the articular cartilage injury known as chondral injury. And there's damage to the underlying bone, and that can also occur in the knees. But a lot of times when you have that meniscus, which is that layer around the bottom of the joint, of the big bones of the leg where the knees come together, that's where that meniscus can either tear, become inflamed, and you have several different severities of pain, degrees of pain. And in that, you know, you can put on a sleeve, but a lot of times the doctor will tell you to just rest it. And resting it is fine, but also we have to put back what is missing. And that's where you're putting back the calcium, the magnesium, the chondroitin, the strontium, the glucosamine, all of those particular things that help rebuild that cartilage or help regenerate that cartilage. Just give it what it needs. I don't like to use the word rebuild or regenerate especially. I mean, I use it, but very loosely, because really, for sake of illustration, but really what we're doing is that's what it's made up of. And so you're just giving it back what it's made up of. You know how they say iron sharpens iron? It's the same thing with our joints. It's the same thing with our cartilage. You give it what it's made of, and it'll regenerate itself, and that's minerals and vitamins and amino acids. And when we talk about meniscus tears, and the meniscus is a rubber-like C-shaped pad of cartilage which sits on the top of the thin cartilage layer, which covers the top of the tibia. These cartilage pads are like shock absorbers, and they help with the impact in the upper and lower leg. So basically your bones don't just shoot past your knees and run together. And this, you know, these meniscal tears can occur from, you know, a forceful movement in a leg, which is bearing weight. And this is very common in sports, football, of course, rugby, like skiing, where you're twisting and the knee is planted or the leg is planted in the ground and you're rotating. And that location of the tear within the meniscus and the length of the tear will determine the seriousness of the injury. In traumatic injuries, the cartilage damage is often in addition to ligament tears or sprains. An injury can also result from repeated minor trauma in the area and general wear and tear. So one of the things to do is, of course, prevention. Continue to give it what it needs on a day-to-day basis. And when you look at a lot of athletes, and I'm not talking about, you know, even in football, which, you know, I played a lot of, you can take a hit on your knee, and, of course, you can injure your knee. But in watching, you'll see a lot of non-contact injuries, meaning that nobody's around them. They run a certain way. They step a certain way, and their legs just give out on them. Their knees shatter. Or, you know, they sprain a tear, ACL or MCL, their Achilles tendon pops. And that's a lot to do with not having enough nutrition in the body to sustain that part of the body. You're not putting back what it's missing, so therefore it's just deteriorating. If you ever seen a rope and you just let that rope sit for a long time, it starts to fray and it starts to get thinner and thinner, and at some point in time you can just snatch that rope apart. Why? Because you're not keeping it or giving it what it needs. You're not housing it in a place where it can stay healthy. It's exposed to the weather. It's exposed to different elements that's causing it to break down. So over a period of time, it'll just pop. Same thing with the ligament, same thing with the cartilage in our knees. It just tends to start to deteriorate if we don't do anything for it. And so we say prevention is the best medicine, but even if we get to the point where that issue is much greater and we need to start to do some maintenance repair on it, that's also a possibility where we've been told you need a knee replacement. But then a lot of times they won't do a knee replacement. If you're on certain types of blood thinners, they won't do a knee replacement. If you have a certain amount of weight on you, they won't do a knee replacement depending on how severe the damage is. Because also you're talking about just replacing the kneecap, but also the hole around it, what that sits in. And then they'll have to do a lot of reconstruction around that area as well. And you truly don't have to go through all of that. I mean, if it's an accident, you've been in a car accident, or you've been shot, or you're something really, really traumatic, and it requires that. But if you have some time, and even if they say, well, oh, it's bone on bone, well, you can start to give the body what it needs and make some changes to your diet and start to eat a more healthier diet and cut out the foods that wear it out. Because when we look at food, a lot of our foods are trans fat. And I'm talking about an American diet. A lot of our foods are filled with gluten. And so we have a lot of free radicals in our body. And free radicals are things that come from when we ingest oil, for its specifics. Most oil that we use in a bottle is oxidized. meaning that when you pour oil out of a bottle and then you put a top back on it, there's air in between the top of the top and the oil. And air has moisture in it. And as you know, oil and water don't mix. So that moisture that's in the air that's trapped in that bottle goes down and sets in the oil, which causes the oil to oxidize. And then when we start to ingest that oil in our bodies, which that oil has free radicals because of the oxidation, once we ingest that oil, then it starts to eat away at our cells, or eat away at our tendons, our ligaments, our connective tissue. Also, what it does is if we're consuming gluten-type foods, wheat, barley, rye, and oats, and we're frying food and we're having that type of diet, then we also prevent ourselves from absorbing nutrition. So even if we're trying to eat a clean diet, or even if we're trying to take vitamins to help supplement the issue, we're not absorbing it because the body isn't as healthy as it should be in the way of being able to absorb it and also being able to get the nutrition into the bloodstream. And when you get the nutrition into the bloodstream, then that means there's nutrition in the cells and the blood cells running through the bloodstream, which means you can rebuild and repair areas of the body because you've given it the raw material to heal itself. So cartilage damage can be, the body can take care of it. You just have to give it what it's missing. Cartilage damage can also happen, you know, you hit your nose a certain way. You get a broken nose. Now, you do have bones in the top of your nose, across the bridge of your nose going up to your brain, but the tip and end of your nose, that's cartilage. And you get hit on your nose a certain way. And that cartilage can heal. It takes time. A lot of times it's painful, but it can heal. We just have to understand that we don't have to jump to a procedure or prescription every single time something like this happens. We need to look at what's missing from the body and then give back to it. And when you do that, you're much more successful. And you don't have to worry about surgery. You don't have to worry about, you know, people talk about surgery like, oh, I need my knee replaced. And we look at the surgery as just as you're getting your knee replaced. But we don't forget about the anesthesia. We forget about the anesthesia. That has to be right. We forget about the surgeon. That has to be right. We forget about the instruments that's being used and a lot of the things that's being used that can cause infection. How are you handling the swelling? How is your body reacting to the new prosthesis, meaning the new knee? Those are a lot of things to take into consideration. So all I'm doing is saying give yourself and give us 90 days to work on that. And then if you end up having to have surgery at some point, at least you've done something different. But in a lot of cases, surgery isn't needed if you're doing the small things and you're doing the preventive maintenance, you're eating a cleaner diet, and you're taking the proper nutrition to help those areas healthy or to help with maintenance repair of those areas. But it all starts with what we put in our bodies, and it all starts with how well and how disciplined we are in taking care of that. The next topic at hand is calcium deposits, especially bone calcium deposits. And that occurs when the body doesn't get enough calcium from your diet, and it begins to take calcium from your bones to make up for the deficiency. Now, a lot of times, and even the medical system sometimes, depending on who your doctor is or who you go see, will tell you that calcium deposits are from having too much calcium. Just like they'll tell you kidney stones are from having too much calcium. 10% true. And what I mean by 10% true is why does your body have too much calcium and where is your body getting the calcium from? And that's when we talk about calcium deposits and bone calcium deposits, and that's why we talk about it occurs when you do not have enough calcium, because your body begins to take calcium from your bones to make up the deficit. So we have to put calcium, magnesium, vitamin D3, glucosamine, chondroitin, strontium, we have to put that into our bodies every day. And so a lot of times people are like, well, you know, where are you going to get all of that? But we already have it. There's a bottle of it called OsteoFX, actually called Beyond OsteoFX. Beyond is more than, osteo is bone, and FX is function. And it's been formulated naturally to build bone matrix and to help with the shedding, because you shed bone, but you also lay down new bone. And when you're, and that's a process that happens. And the body can normally do that process on its own as long as the calcium tank, so to speak, is filled up. And so when I say calcium, I'm talking about all of those things. I'm not just talking about calcium by itself. And you'll hear me say that several times throughout the slide or throughout the presentation, because I don't want to get it mixed up when we talk about calcium and calcium deposits and how much calcium we have and do we have enough. And it's just not calcium by itself that does this. Because I've had, you know, people will go out and they'll get on a calcium regimen and they'll say, oh, man, this doesn't work because all you're taking is calcium. And you say, well, I heard somebody talking about that, and I thought I'd go out and get some calcium. Calcium is extremely hard to absorb. It's extremely hard to get into the cells by itself, which is the reason why you need the cake. You need the vitamin D3. You need the magnesium. You need the glucosamine. You need the chondroitin. You need the strontium. You need all of those things because that's what bone is made of. That's what tendons are made of. While 98% of the calcium in your body is found in your bones and teeth, the remaining 2% is absorbed into the blood and pumped around the body, where it helps with digestion, cell division, and circulation. If you don't get enough calcium or enough exercise, bone calcium deposits can form in your tissues and organs over time. Bone calcium deposits can contribute to osteoporosis, cancer, heart disease, and other degenerative diseases. The body starts to degenerate, break down, if you will, if there's not enough of that mix. Calcium deposits can form when bones are damaged or placed under stress. The body sends extra calcium minerals to the damaged area to help repair it. These minerals travel to the stressed and damaged bone through your bloodstream. If your body's signals aren't functioning correctly due to a calcium deficiency, then extra calcium may build up around the damaged area. Now, let me finish this point. Over the time, this extra calcium or this extra layer of calcium hardens into deposits. The deposit may pinch tendons and nerves, causing pain. Bone calcium deposits are most common in women 40 years of age and older, the same group at the highest risk for osteoporosis. Calcium deposits can occur when the body doesn't receive enough dietary calcium. A calcium deficiency can cause your body to remove calcium from the bones, which I've said, and send it to other areas of the body where it's needed. And it helps with digestion, regulating cell division, and maintaining adequate blood circulation. A sedentary lifestyle, which is why it's always great to get out and walk. People say, you know, what exercises can I do? Just walk. 30 minutes, 35 minutes a day, because that's something you can do now for the rest of your life. You can always walk. And that's a good way to help keep the body and the cells and everything moving within itself, along with giving it the extra dietary calcium. Now, we talk about it being in the bloodstream, calcium circulating through the bloodstream. Well, one of the things that happens through digestion is if you're eating foods that are calcium rich, such as collard greens and green peas and baked beans and different things like that, you're going to get some calcium from those sources. But we don't ever know how much we need to eat. I mean, you couldn't eat enough collard greens or enough kale or baked beans or green peas. You couldn't eat enough of that every day to get the daily recommended amounts of calcium without having all kinds of gas, without being full. So therefore, you have to supplement. You know, if you ate a pot of greens or if you ate a bowl of greens, at the bottom of that bowl, it don't tell you how much calcium you got. And a lot of the problems with the foods, trying to get vitamins from the foods, is the source of the food. A lot of our foods are genetically modified, or a lot of our foods grow in soils with no minerals. And vitamins don't actively work without minerals. So therefore, eating a healthy diet of greens and vegetables is wonderful. But we need to make sure that we're getting enough of that. And we can't possibly eat enough to maintain that level of calcium in the body. If we could, then half the population or three-quarters of the population wouldn't be calcium deficient. if you have bone calcium, you know, once you form these deposits, you really need to start paying attention to how you feel and really understand and how the understanding works. When we talk about calcium, is it's done through the parathyroid. And the parathyroid is in the neck near the thyroid gland. Parathyroid, like 4 grains of sized pieces of rice. And all it does is regulate calcium throughout the body. So when the body says I don't have enough calcium, the parathyroid will say, okay, I'll release some, meaning that I'll allow some to go from the bones, I'll allow some to go from the teeth, and that way we can get it into the body. If you're extremely or severely deficient in calcium, that parathyroid will become overactive, and that's what they call hyperparathyroidism. You have an overactive parathyroid because your body is just wasting away trying to feed itself the calcium that it needs. And one person asked me, you know, well, if my calcium, if the doctor's telling me, you're telling me I'm not getting enough calcium, but the doctor's telling me I'm getting too much calcium, how do I know? And I said, well, if you're getting the right amount of calcium in your body, supplementation or through diet, your blood calcium level will be normal. But if the doctor tells you you have a high blood calcium level, that's likely that the parathyroid is working overtime, pulling calcium from the body. And then you start to have things like bone pain, bone spurs, which we talked about a week or so ago. And these calcium deposits, kidney stones count as calcium deposits. It's extra calcium that's now deposited into the kidney because it's robbed the body of so much of it. The bones have been robbed of it. And I know it sounds strange, but the more calcium you give yourself or the more you fill that deficiency tank, the less the body will have to use for its reserves. You don't want the body using its calcium when it needs it for the bones and it needs it for the heart and it needs it for the bloodstream and it needs it for circulation. You don't want your body being robbed of something that it needs. So you have to give it that every day. You have to give it that calcium every day. And then you'll find that a lot of those issues will start to alleviate because your body's now feeding itself and replenishing that calcium tank, so to speak. And again, when we talk about that calcium, we're talking about calcium, magnesium, vitamin D3, glucosamine, chondroitin. We're talking about all of those particular things when we talk about calcium deficiencies. Now, surgery, a lot of times, you know, again, if it's something that is serious or something that has happened through a traumatic injury, you may have to exercise that. But even with, you know, women and osteoporosis, if the advances in medicine that we've had are amazing, but we still have women in 2018 suffering from osteoporosis. So evidently, the system isn't doing a great job of alleviating that or finding out how to fix that problem. That's just not in their wheelhouse. And then a lot of the medications, prescription medications, wear out your bones, wear out your joints, can cause bone pain. So if you have these particular symptoms, you need to look at some of the medications you may be taking and the side effects. Because the side effects could be causing a problem also with your body pulling more calcium to make up for what's being robbed through the prescription drug. Water. Drinking water is extremely important. Good, clean, filtered water is extremely important in helping the joints. Even when we talk about cartilage damage, we talk about how we're surrounded, the body's surrounded by water, fluid. And you need those fluids to help those joints move and operate smoothly. So making sure that you're getting enough water will help as well with the bones and the joints and the cartilage and all of those particular things. And then to back down from there, one of the smaller things that starts to happen that a lot of times we don't necessarily pay attention to are the fact of in the beginning, our nails being brittle. You know, when we look at brittle nails, and we talk about it a lot in women, you know, because they're more, I guess, astute with their nails, whether they're getting them done or they just can't get them to grow or they don't seem to be strong enough. Brittle nails can also have a lot of telltale signs of how the body's functioning. And similar to how your skin can reveal a lot about, you know, your internal well-being, your fingernails can be a window into your health as well. And what causes brittle nails? You know, sometimes brittle nails are a simple result of aging or lack of moisture, which is, again, water drink isn't extremely important, while other times it can be indicative of a thyroid disease, like hypothyroidism or hypothyroidism. You got hyper and you got hypo, because these conditions can cause nail problems. Your hands often show your age, and so can your nails. If you look at the nails of babies and kids, you can see how the coloring and texture are most likely, you know, really healthy looking. As we age, the health of our nails can vary, but we can definitely improve the health of our nails at any point in life. You know, so, you know, a lot of times we say, well, I need to strengthen my nails. I need to harden my nails. And there's a lot of natural and effective ways to be able to do that. When we talk about biotin and hair, skin, and nail formulas and different things like that can help. But also, you know, brittle nails. Also, you can have brittle nails as well as toenails. And toenails aren't as prevalent, or you don't see it as much as you can see it with your hands, but you have it on your toes as well. And it's estimated it affects about 20% of the population. And like I said before, women tend to struggle with it more than men, but it's one of those things that, you know, can happen where your nails are splitting. They're kind of bumpy when you run your finger across them, and they're not smooth. They feel like ridges, like potato chip ridges. And also the tips of them can be really brittle. And if you wonder why your nails break so easily, it could be due to the fact that they are brittle. It also, you know, can tend to mean that you got split ends. You can have peeling at the tips of them. You can have cracking and chipping. And difficulty growing long nails, where when they start to grow out, they just kind of look like something that you don't even recognize, that they grow unevenly. And a lot of risk factors for brittle nails, when you look at it, iron deficiency. Iron deficiency can be a big one in the fact of your in the health of your nails. If you get sunburn a lot, that can cause issues with your nails. Excuse me. Prolonged exposure to cold weather. Repeat injury or trauma to the nails, like if you use your hands a lot, and you're beating, you're tapping, you're typing on a keyboard, you know, that tapping over time can have an effect on your nails. Frequent hand washing, you wash your hands a lot, and that means your hands dry out and you're not using a moisturizer. You know, we always talk about our hands being ashy, but our nails also need to be moist, and those cuticles need to be moist. And exposure to chemicals like nail polish removers. And so that's one of the things you have to be really mindful of, especially if you're going to a nail salon regularly to get, you know, nails removed or get new nails or just get your nails touched up. And or even if you do them at home, the overlong use of that acetone, not only is that a toxic product that's absorbing into your bloodstream, but that's also wearing down and making the nail brittle. Because you're putting that toxin in, it's breaking down that enamel, if you will, that the nail is made up of. And it's affecting, sometimes it can affect your nail beds and how your nails grow. Overlong, prolonged toxic use. And so, you know, brittle nails can also be caused by a fungal nail infection. You get a fungus under your nails, and that's a lot of times with toes. You know, toe fungus, toenail fungus. You know, you bang your toe or you bang your nail and it turns black underneath. You have that circulation that's not properly circulating, so the nail can't get the health that it's normally getting or can't get the blood flow that it's normally getting. Again, nail psoriasis, which is like the hair, but the nails, and the layers of the nails are peeling back. Arthritis, is another reason. But when we talk about thyroid disease, when someone has thyroid disease, they can experience both brittle nails and hair loss. Thyroid problems are common in women, and hypothyroidism is particularly known for causing brittle nails. Hypothyroidism means that the thyroid isn't producing enough of the hormones that it should, and that can lead to a sluggish metabolism. According to an article by the Harvard School of Medicine, when the metabolism slows down, then the body sweats less. Since sweat is a natural moisturizer for the body, less sweat can lead to skin becoming dry and nails becoming brittle. So if you're not a sweater and you don't sweat often, then you really have to maybe sit in a sauna, go work out, walk, get your blood rate up, get your heart rate up, and then go sit somewhere where you can feel the heat and sweat, because again, that's your body's one is your cooling system, but also it's a natural moisturizer for your body. And so if you find that you have skin issues and dry skin, and you also have nail problems, your body's not properly lubricated. Now, one of the big ways that you can help that along, again, like I said, is sweat more and do things that cause you to sweat more, but also essential fatty acids. Your essential fatty acids, which is the proper ratio of your omega 3, 6, and 9, can help the body recover itself or give the body what it needs in the fact of those healthy oils. You can get them from, you know, my best way is to take them in supplement fashion, because I have to take like 6 or 9 a day for my body weight. But, you know, you can, people say, well, I want to eat my essential fats. And that's fine, but you know, you eat a lot of fish, you have to eat a lot of salmon, certain nuts you can eat, that's going to give you the omegas. Eggs are extremely important in that as well. And so there are several ways that you can get your omega 3, 6s, and 9s, but you have to get them in the proper ratios, and that's where the breakdown happens, because we'll get a lot of omega 3, but maybe no omega 9, or maybe very little omega 6. You need them all in the proper ratio for it to really work within the body. So if you've been taking just a fish oil tablet, or if you've been taking, omega 6 or what have you, and you're not getting the benefit, likely because, one, you either may not be absorbing it due to gluten issues, or you're just not getting the proper ratio of those omega 3, 6s, and 9s. So that's one of the things that we really have to pay attention to when we talk about that, because if you don't, and you start to take different things, or you start to try to do different things, and you're not getting the result, we always have to look at absorption, and then we have to look at what's causing the root cause of the issue, which a lot of times is absorption of the proper nutrients or not getting the proper ratios of your omega 3, 6s, and 9s. Now, vitamin deficiencies behind brittle nails is most likely, I said, iron. So that's another one that we have to pay attention to. Again, now iron, if you're on iron, a lot of women can be on iron supplements. Iron is very, very hard to absorb, and iron is very hard on the body. And so you have to have those mineral cofactors to be able to get the iron into the body and make it functional. And anemia, a lot of times people are iron deficient. So one of the things that we do is we get all 90 essential nutrients. We take them based on body weight. And that's going to assure you that instead of just giving you iron, instead of just giving you this, instead of just giving you that, you're getting all of it. And the body knows exactly what to do with it. If you're deficient in one, the body's going to fill that tank up. If you're not so deficient in the other, the body will take what it needs, and it will excrete the rest through waste. But we have to get all the nutrients, all 90 essential nutrients. And when we talk about 90 essential nutrients, that's 60 minerals, 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, and 2 to 3 essential fatty acids. And the three essential fatty acids are the proper ratios of your omegas. That's how you make up 90 essential nutrients. And if you understand that we need two-thirds more minerals than we need vitamins. A lot of people will take a lot of vitamins, but they rarely are not getting the mineral cofactors because vitamins don't work without minerals. You have to have that backing. You have to have that protocol, so to speak. And so that's been the problem with us just taking stuff. The doctor will tell you, yeah, you're vitamin D3 deficient, but then they put you on a synthetic form of just the vitamin D, or are you on a supplement of vitamin D3, but you're not getting the benefit. Why? Because you don't have the magnesium. You don't have the calcium. And that's why we just give you everything. And the body's smart enough that it'll figure out what to do with it, and it'll fix itself. And so, you know, if you're suffering from brittle nails and cartilage damage or bone deposits, get the nutrients in your body. Give it 90 days. The first thing we must do, though, is detox the liver. Because why? Everything in the bloodstream has to filter through the liver. If the liver is toxic and it's never been cleaned out before, then whatever you put into your body is going to get hung up in the liver, even if it's more toxin or if it's something that's healthy like nutrition. It's going to get hung up and it's not going to translate or assimilate through the rest of the body. So therefore, we clean that part of our body out first. That way now, once we're detoxing the system and then we're putting the nutrients in, and they're filtering through the liver. The liver can filter the things that it doesn't need and allow the good stuff to go through. That's like if you had a filter or you had a strainer and you filled that and you took like a coffee strainer and you put coffee in it, it takes a really long time, coffee grounds, it takes a really long time for that water to get down through that filter. Even if you had a strainer like a kitchen strainer and you put a bunch of stuff over top of it and you poured water over it, a lot of water would want to run off to the side, but not much of it would go through the actual strainer. But when you clean that off and you pour water, it goes through there really easy. Same thing with your liver. So once you clean that liver off and you get everything out of the way, now that blood can function and flow through there, the cholesterol can flow through there, the things that are produced within the liver, the hormones can flow to the rest of the body. When we talk about the thyroid a lot of times is a direct connection to how the liver is responding to the thyroid, because the liver is communicating with the thyroid. The liver is communicating with the gallbladder. It's connected to the gallbladder. So a lot of parts and things within the body can become hung up waiting for stuff to get through the liver. And if it never makes it through the liver, then hey, you know, you got bigger problems. And that's why we talk about detoxing and cleaning the liver out first. And once we do that, then we're better able to get the proper nutrients in the body. And with that, then the body can start to heal itself. And so we take a 30-day liver detox. We get the body together by not only detoxing the liver, getting the stones out, but also meal planning and eating good food, fruits, vegetables, lean meats, proteins, chicken, fish. You're eating the basic foods to keep the body healthy, and the body can use that as fuel, and you're cutting out the bad stuff. You're limiting your outside toxins, meaning what you put on your skin. You have lotions and deodorants and shampoos and all of those things, and if you look at the back of the bottle and it's toxic, guess what's happening? When you put that on your skin, it's absorbed into your bloodstream within 26 seconds. Now that's in your bloodstream and it gets caught up, and then it gets to go to the liver. And then the liver becomes toxic. The food that you ingest makes, so you have to be on your best behavior all the way around when you're on a liver detox, because you want to get it completely cleaned out as much as you can. And, you know, it's okay to detox the liver, you know, every 6 months to a year, depending on, you know, your status level and your health level. We do, you know, I'm doing right now probably about The last one I did was in November, and we're going to go again in April. Do like mid to late April, do a 30-day liver detox. And, you know, so 6 months to a year is good just to keep the body ready so it's able to absorb and it's able to stay healthy. And you'd just be surprised how wonderful you feel through this process. And so you do that for 30 days, and then you have 90 days of your nutritional protocol. If it's calcium deficiencies that you're dealing with, you get a bone and joint pack, the maintenance repair, and is the protocol that you need for the body to make its own new bone, for its body to be able to shed and rebuild and lay down new bone, for your cartilage and tendons and ligaments to stay healthy, and your disc between the vertebrae to stay healthy. You need that protocol. So that protocol is basically what your bone is made of, what your ligaments and tendons are made of, and that's the raw materials to keep them functioning. So through that process, within 4 months, you are feeling great, you're looking better, you're feeling better, and everything within you is giving you a rejuvenation of life. But you have to be serious, and you have to be disciplined. Your body doesn't ask for much. It runs as bad as we treat it. Sometimes it still wakes up every day and it still runs. It may not run as efficiently as we like it, but it still works. Your heart still beats. And so when we turn that around and we do the little things that make it worthwhile, the body responds even greater, and it loves you for it. So calcium deficiencies are huge. You can get about 147 diseases from being calcium deficient, and we're still working through the calcium deficiency as a root cause. The symptoms are just that. They're the symptoms, but we don't deal in symptoms. We deal in root cause. So we're not worried about the symptoms per se, because the calcium deficiency is the problem. And again, when I talk about calcium deficiency, I'm talking about calcium, magnesium, vitamin D3, glucosamine, strontium, chondroitin, all of those particular things. That's what I'm talking about when I encompass the word. That's all encompassed in the word calcium deficiency. And so when you put all of that together into the body recognizes it, and it starts to use it as maintenance repair. But we have to also continue our great eating habits to not offset what we've just done. You take all these wonderful, you get the liver cleaned out, you take all these wonderful supplements, you eat all this great food, or you don't eat the great food, but you take the supplements and you think, okay, well, I can have my fried chicken, or I can have my fish, I can have my fried fish, or I can, you know, eat my mashed potatoes. And a lot of that, you are basically canceling out what you just did from detoxing the liver. You're canceling out what you just did from taking your protocol. And so it's important to make sure that you stay on a plan, on the plan, because you just didn't get that way overnight. You got that way over a period of time. So it takes a period of time for you to get it back, but you also have to give the body the raw materials. So, you know, if anybody has any particular questions about calcium deficiencies, about cartilage damage, about brittle nails, about calcium deposits, feel free to inbox me, feel free to make a comment, send a message. If you have, you know, we have a discussion about it. Let's just not, you know, you can listen to information, you can take in information, you can always go back, you know, as this is Facebook Live and the radio, which we have recordings, you can always go back and listen to those things. But if there's questions that you may have, I'm on the radio side, just press 1, and I'll be able to answer your question. And if not, I'll be able to get you the answer. If there are other reasons or other things that you may have thought somebody should have heard this and they're not on here and you want to make sure that they get the information, we'll do that as well. So at this point, I'm looking around and let's see if we have any particular questions. We got someone calling in from Maryland, 410 number.
Hello.
Good evening. How are you?
Hello, Donald. It's Marianne calling.
How are you today?
I am well. I was very excited about your presentation this evening. As usual, it's inspirational and information that we need. I have a question for you about my rotator cuff, which is my right rotator cuff, which is probably at least 20 years old. And it functions very well unless I have to really pick up something with my right hand that is heavy. Is there any way I can improve it?
So is it normally just the picking up motion that bothers
yeah.
you? Or?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the CM cream is something that's going to help feed the joint. It's going to help with the pain and if there's inflammation there. Of course, the glucogel.
I take glucogel. I take 5-3 times a day, and I'm taking the osteo, of course. I take the EFAs. I take 3-6-9 of the yellow and 2-4-6 of the brown every day.
Okay. How long have you had this pain?
Pardon me?
How long have you had this pain?
Oh, it's just every once, like today, I had a friend come over, and I have a new microwave. It's a little bit higher than the last one, and so I wanted to just put some water in there for tea. And I lifted up this big pitcher and up into the microwave. I could do it, but it's painful.
Is something like you slept on it the wrong way or something over time?
No, I lift. I try to lift with this hand and shoulder, and the old rotator cuff on the right side just pounds. It's painful. It doesn't stay. It goes away right after I stop reaching. But
what I would do, because you are taking what you need to take, but the other thing I would do is make sure that if you have that CM cream, make sure you, even if you don't have pain in the day or if you don't have pain that day, but put it on
uh-huh.
in the morning,
uh-huh.
come on in the evening, and just do a regimen of that for, you know, as long as you have the jar, and find out, you know, if you get some relief that way, because a lot of times that will help with the acceleration of repair
yeah.
to that particular area from the outside.
But is it, from what you say, from your presentation, I get the feeling that it can be repaired at least a little bit better than it is now.
Right, and it could be, and if it's a strain, like it could be your meniscus, and things
uh-huh.
like that, as opposed to just the rotator cuff, and those take a little bit of time
uh-huh.
to heal, just because if there's a slight tear or there's a strain in that particular area, it can take
right.
a little bit of time. So that's why I said if you do the regimen of CM cream, like you put the CM cream on there, and you know if you went to go lift something into the microwave right after you put CM cream on it, you probably wouldn't even feel the pain.
Oh, I'll try that. That's a good idea. I've got the cream.
Yeah, and then that what that will let you know is it's the soft tissue problem. If you don't feel any pain when you put the CM cream on there, you put the CM cream on there, and you go to lift something
uh-huh.
into the microwave or what have you, and you have very little pain or no pain, then you understand that it's the tissues, or it could be the soft tissues, which is like ligaments, your meniscus, those particular things, as opposed to bone rubbing back and forth together or like loss of cartilage.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you very much. I have one other quick question. I don't want to take all of your time. To do the liver detox, I have done it before, but now I'm on a regimen that I have adopted with my EFAs for another item I've got, trembling feet and legs. I think we may have talked about that some time ago. So if I'm on a liver detox, I can't take the EFAs. Is that right?
Well, the only – yes, you can take the EFAs. The only days you won't be – so the first 2 days of the liver detox
uh-huh.
are – that's what the liver detox is. You're prepping the liver. You're getting it ready. And then on the next day, you're excreting things from the liver. And
right.
by end of that day or the very next day, you can start back taking your nutrition again. So it's only 2 days
oh,
that you
okay.
can go without
all right.
go without your. And so
that
you take
works.
Everything as once you get back to eating food again, which is the third day.
I can do that. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you for doing so much for us and for our bodies. We love you very much.
Thank you so much, and it's so good to hear from you.
Thank you, Donald. Well, this is Easter break.
Ah, that's
That's
right.
why I'm on the phone.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah,
well, thanks
God
for
bless.
Checking in, and God bless you, too. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Wonderful. Do we have any other questions? Concerns? Comments? Discussion? Well, again, as I say every week, I hope that this topic was valuable. I hope you got something from it. Again, like I said, if you have people who you wanted to hear this that weren't on, make sure you share it. And even if there's people you don't know, just share the information. Information and knowledge can help people. One of the things that I like to say that my mentor, you know, says is that you never know what you might say or do today that will be able to help millions of people tomorrow. So I find that to be very true, and I find that to be gratifying. So I show up here every week enjoying what I do. It doesn't matter to me what's going on in my life. When you're doing something bigger than yourself and you're doing something greater than yourself, you show up no matter what. And that's one of the things that I look forward to. I look forward to the study of it, learning new information so that I can become a vessel and become more valuable. And so in closing, I always like to close out this call with recognition and dedication. John Bryan, who was my mentor and one of my very, very good friends, who is no longer with us, and my mom, because without my mom, this passion wouldn't be real. My mom told me about 2 or 3 days before she died of cancer and issues with cancer, to never let this happen to anybody else. And from there, 3 years, from 2011 to 2014, I found my passion, and I've never stopped chasing it, and I got to get the word out. And that's my goal. That's my job. That's what I love to do. That's what fulfills me at the end of the day, is learning and giving and creating value for people who otherwise may not know. Because we only perish for a lack of knowledge, and what we don't know, we don't know. You cannot know what you don't know, but once you find out, then you have the ability to make a rational decision on how you want to handle things within your life and how you want to handle things within yourself and those around you. And we'll always remember, we're 100% responsible for us and us only. And what we do with that dictates the life we live. So we have to take responsibility for our health, just like we have to take responsibility for other things in our life. And if any of those responsibilities are neglected for long periods of time, then you have issues. So again, we'll be back here next Tuesday at 7 p.m. I look forward to seeing everybody back again. Invite your friends, invite your family. Let's have a discussion. Let's have a dialogue. If you have a topic that you want me to discuss, or you want to have a dialogue around, you can inbox me on Facebook at Donald Snowden, or you can call me. My phone number is 919-599-0916. If I don't get to your call right away, send me a text message, and I'll get that information. If you need a recording of the call, send me a text message, and I'll also get you that information once the recording is done. Again, I appreciate everybody for showing up and stopping by, and we'll see you next week. Thank you.